In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, I can't say, as we do a lot of times, that we've been here a lot of times before, because we haven't. I think I might have made one reference to this, maybe in all my years. But we're there today. We begin reading at verse 44. I want you to corral your mind and get everything just right here, because we want to hear the word of God. Behold, everyone that uses the proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as the mother, so is her daughter. When I get through today, y'all may want me to speak Saturday night. No, I'm kidding. You won't, I promise. As the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. Listen. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which have loathed their husband and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria. She and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister has done, she and her daughter. Let's start. As I live, verse 48, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They were haughty, committed abomination before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. I want to skip down to verse 59, and this is key. I want you to hear this verse. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done. What did she do? We don't even know who we're talking about yet, do we? We know there's three sisters here. Two of them, one of them Samaria, one Sodom. We've not identified the other one, but we shall. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hath, this is what she did, the third sister, despised the oath in breaking the covenant. As your pastor, we wear many hats and many pair of shoes. I don't. I just like to wear the same shoes all the time. These shoes I've got on my feet are not that old, but you wouldn't know it because I hadn't changed styles in years. I go by the same shoe every time. But I like to wear the shoe of a pastor, and I like to shepherd the sheep. As you well know, there are times often that I slip my feet into the shoe of the evangelist and go and try to win a soul to God. But this morning, I put on the shoes of the prophet to warn you of that is coming and that is upon us already. Some of you I'm going to upset this morning. Some of you, I feel, and I hope it's very few, I'll probably make mad. But all of you are going to hear the truth, because I love you enough to tell you the truth and not allow us to go blindly into the abyss and into hell. First of all, I want to tell you that America is a sick country. America is very ill. America is critical. America this morning, the United States of America, is in the critical care unit on life support, breathing very, very shallow with a heartbeat that's almost gone. That does not mean I hate my country. That does not mean that I do not love my country. For I have stood in this pulpit often and told you of people that were very ill, very sick, and very nigh unto death. I was not angry with them when I told you that a certain brother was in intensive care approaching the hour of death, or a sister. But I told you that because of a burden, because I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God to not let them die, but let them live. Often our prayers were answered, and they came out of that critical care unit and lived today or lived a while. So it's with that burden that I tell you that America is a very ill and a very, very sick nation. We must pray for her. We must intercede for her, or she is surely about to die. I will have to be very brief in a lot of what I say today because time will not allow it to go into depth, but you will understand. We are a nation in debt, approaching $20 trillion. Every person in this house this morning, even those in children's church as a United States citizen, you are $59,538 in debt to your government. We are drowning in debt. You cannot go on like that. We today are a country that have a people with an entitlement mentality. We have come to believe, and we're at the 50% mark now, that 50% of the people in America believe that the government should support them. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If only 50% of people plant turnips, but 100% of the people eat out of the patch, it's not going to be long till the patch is going to be gone. Can I get an amen right there? The moral compass of America is broken. We have no moral direction. We are in a drug crisis. And the musician, the singer that died this past week, I could save the government thousands of dollars if they would ask me what killed him. I promise you that I'm 99% sure that it was drug-related. Can I get an amen right there? I could save them a lot of money. Socialism is creeping in upon us at a rate that is alarming. And it's very, very scary. In fact, we have a man running for president of the United States today that is an avowed socialist that believes that you ought to have everything free that ought to be given to you. Young person, you want to go to college? It's free. Just sign up and go. Doesn't that sound good? But what you don't understand and what these thousands of people that are flocking to that doctrine don't understand, socialism gives you everything free, but you have to work on the farm and give it all to the government to get that freedom. Would you rather work 40 hours a week and bring some of your paycheck home and pay for your education? Or would you rather work 40 hours a week and the government get your check and then get to go to college free? America is a sick nation. This morning, I want to preach to you on the tale of three sisters. It's not a tale. It's a word of God. In the scripture that I read to you this morning, he spoke of a lady and her children, three of them. Two of them was identified in the text. The other, if you would read it all, would be identified as Jerusalem, but in spiritual terms, it is the nation that follows God. He said in the very beginning of this, he said, you are your mother's daughter. The lineage goes on. Then he sends your sister to the left, or the older sister is Samaria. Your sister, the younger sister, is Sodom. Your sister and her daughters. That simply means everybody down through the generations that follows the teachings and the philosophies of Samaria and the teachings and philosophies of Sodom. There's no place called Sodom, but there are people called Sodomites. There is no place, there's Samaria, but there are Samaritans spiritually in this world. And God is talking to a lady and her daughters, those that came after her, and said, you have a sister, older sister, on the name Samaria, a younger sister named Sodom. But then he tells that third sister something very, very important. You have not done the deeds of your sisters. You have not lived like Samaria. You have not done the deeds of your sister Sodom. But yet what you have done is worse. What you have done is worse than the deeds of your sister Samaria and your sister Sodom and their daughters. How could it be any worse? We're going to talk about it. We're going to identify that sister here in just a few moments. He said your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite, all three of them. And we know from scripture and studying the Ammonites and the Hittites were descended from Canaan, the son of Ham, the son of Noah, that one day laid down his morals and looked at the naked body of his father. Ham looked upon the naked body of his father Noah, and God cursed his son, Ham's son, Canaan, and the Amorites and the Hittites were descended from Canaan's son. The Ammonites were from Canaan, and then the Hittites from Heath or Heth. Samaria. Descended from the sons of Ham. Samaria, Sodom, and a third lady. Well, we could look at Samaria and their sin and what it was that they were so vile for, and we can identify them in modern day terms. Samaritans are still with us. The Samaritans were the people that had a religion, but not according to the law of God and not according to the word of God. Ham, the son of Noah, you just listen, and we don't have time to go in all the depths because we got to identify this, but the Samaritans in the New Testament, the woman at the well looked to Jesus, and I preached this several times lately, just fact last week in Richston, and I preached it here. And when he got down to that point, tell her she had five husbands, and the man she had milk in her cow now wasn't hers, belonged to her neighbor. And she said, you worship in Jerusalem. We worship on this mountain. And Jesus said, you don't know what you worship. The Samaritans built a temple on Mount Gerizim and refused to go to Jerusalem and worship Jehovah God. So he tells this lady that we're going to identify, we're actually going to identify them all, but he tells her, he says, you have a sister that has a religion that is horrible, it's diabolical, it's not after God, it's not after the law of God, they don't know what they worship. Ladies and gentlemen, the sister, the older sister, the one that has a distorted religion, we identify today as the Muslim countries of the world that have a religion called Islam that has nothing at all to do with the truth of God. He says to this unidentified lady, you have a sister that her problem is a distorted religion. Anybody know that? You understand what I'm saying? There are people in this world today that have a religion, but God's way produces life. Theirs produces death. And they're murdering Christians and destroying Christians. And oh no, we could go. You see, Moloch, that ungodly religion that offered babies and gave babies to their God, that religion of Moloch was descended from the Ammonites, the father, spiritual father of these three girls. And Moloch, that a hollow statue made out of brass with arms outstretched, and to worship your God, you take your newborn baby, perhaps the firstborn, there's Eli, Brother Joey, and Sister Stephanie, his firstborn, and they're worshiping Molech. And so what they do, they go to that heathen temple, they're going to offer sacrifice to their God, their heathen priest, heat, build a fire inside that hollow statue, they heat it red hot, and Brother Joey and Sister Stephanie walk up and lay baby Eli in the red hot arms of that baby, that brazen statue that's red hot, and for a moment he screams and wiggles and it's all over. That's Samaria. That's the people in this world whose religion makes no sense. We could be talking about none other than the Muslim countries of this world that embrace Islam and say that everybody else must die. Sodom. Who identifies with the other sister, the younger sister, Sodom? Well, there was a book written several years ago that will say it better probably than any way I could put it. Samaria has a religion, but it is a horrible religion. Say amen. But there was a book written, the title of that book can say it better than I can say it. Sodom had no Bible. Sodom had no religion at all. Sodom didn't even have a perverted religion. Sodom didn't have any kind of guidelines to live by. Even false religions, Brother Andy, have guidelines. Even false religions have standards. Even false religions have do's and don'ts. Can somebody say amen to me right there? Even false religions have some things that you must do and some things you must not do. Like Molech, you offer your firstborn baby on the altar of sacrifice to Molech. God said the firstborn belongs to me also, didn't he? But he said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. I'm going to let you take baby Eli home with me and you bring a lamb and kill it as a substitute. My God, what a beautiful picture. But Sodom had no. Sodom had no guidelines. Sodom had no restraints. Sodom had no rules. Are you listening to me? You about to identify Sodom? Sodom is this world out there that has the philosophy that if it feels good, do it. You're not bound to anything. Sodom, The people that seek to live totally free, not understanding that they're bound. If they want to work, they work. If they don't want to work, they don't work. If they want to say amen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm studying yesterday, and I'm trying to go back to the origins of some of these things in our culture, and I went all the way back to that crazy Woodstock festival. Any of you old enough to remember Woodstock and the hippie days? And dear God, man, there was no restraints, none whatsoever. You're at Woodstock. I mean, dear God, it doesn't matter. You want to blow your brain, whatever you want to do. And so Sodom is a world that lives without restraint. And in the middle of that, there's a third sister. In the middle of that, there's a third sister and her daughters. You got Samaria. They've got a perverted and a warped religion. It's horrible. And if I had an hour and a half, we could, we'd talk about some of those. There's Hindu, everything. But in the forefront of our mind today, it's Islam. They want to kill you, and because you are an infidel, they want to send you to hell where they can go to heaven. Now, buddy, if that ain't messed up, I don't know what messed up is. I want you to go to heaven with me. On the other hand, we've got Sodom, no Bible, no laws, no restraints, no nothing. Everything's free. Everything's right. Everything's good. I mean, dear God, I heard the other day, I was driving and had the radio on and listening to Rush Limbaugh. You listen to him every once in a while, he starts cussing, then you got to cut him off. And Rush Limbaugh gave an account of a story that blew my mind. And I think it about blew his. He acted like he was startled. A man and his wife, Rush said, had four children. Mama wanted another baby. She wanted to be like my mama and have five. And she don't even know my mama. They got four babies, and mama wants another baby. Papa says, ain't gonna be no more babies here. No, four's enough. Now, some of you wives and husbands had that discussion, probably. Then it's just Tina did so good with the first one, they just didn't even bother to have any more. Isn't that right? So mama wants a fifth baby. Daddy says no. So they're going to work out a compromise. So mama comes up with a compromise. I'm talking about Sodom. No restrictions, no Bible, no rules, nothing. Mama says to Daddy, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you 1 weekend a year off. For the rest of our lives, you can go anywhere you want to. Take anybody you want to take with you, any girl, any woman, anybody, and have 1 weekend a year free if you'll let me have one more baby. Guess what Daddy said? Yes! Mama gets a baby, and Daddy gets a weekend to do anything he wants to do with anybody he wants to do it with. Sodom. No rules. No restrictions. That's Sodom. But this third lady that yet remains, some of you are going to figure it out. But the prophet Ezekiel said, you have not done as your sister Samaria. You are not killing people in the name of your religion. You're not doing that. You're allowing people to worship any way they want to worship. You're not requiring everybody in your country to be Methodist. And you're not requiring everybody to be Baptist. And you don't require everybody in your country to be Assemblies of God, Church of God, Pentecostal. Now, in those Muslim worlds, they do. That's Samaria. But he said, you've not done that. You've allowed people the right and the freedom to worship God after the dictates of their own heart. You have not done what Samaria did, and if they don't do it, you kill them, cut their head off. He said, you haven't done that. He said, you hadn't even done as bad as your sister Sodom. And he goes on to talk about it. He said, you have had a few rules. It got pretty slack, but you've still stood by a few rules. There's still a few things folks got to do, at least two. They got to pay taxes and they got to die. A couple of rules still in place. But he said, you are worse than they are. I read it to you. Thou hast not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. How could it be? Three sisters, the one in the middle, worse than the older, worse than the younger. How could it be? And who could it be? The answer is in verse 59. He said, your sister Samaria demands that everybody worship her God or they die. That's that Muslim world. Your sister Sodom demands that there are no restraints at all. That's that ungodly world out there. That's what it is. But he said, what you have done that's worse than Samaria and worse than Sodom, you have despised the oath and you have broken the covenant. You have despised the oath and you have broken the covenant. Here's what makes the middle sister worse than the other two. She had a companion. She had a husband. She was married to somebody. She had made some vows. She had set some principles and some precepts, but now she has despised the oath that she made. And she has broken the covenant that she made. Here's her sin. She has stood, if you want to just get a picture of what I'm talking about, and then we're going to identify the third sister. We're going to preach a little bit here. She has stood at an altar. In our mentality, she has stood at an altar and pledged her eternal love and her eternal devotion to a husband. She has said, I do. And now she despises the oath and has broken the covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, Samaria, it's the Muslim countries of the world that you worship their God or you die. Sodom is the out there that has no rules, no restraints, none whatsoever. The sister that has broken the covenant with her maker and her master is the United States of America. In God We Trust is the official motto of the United States of America, passed by a declaration of Congress. In God We Trust. Congress passed a law and a declaration that says the United States of America will trust God and we will honor God and we will serve God. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the, hand over your heart here, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But now this nation despises that oath. We prayed in schools. We prayed in the courthouse. We had our Ten Commandments. But now the third sister in the middle now despises the oath and has broken the covenant. And God says, you're worse than Samaria, you're worse than Sodom, because now you have despised the oath, you have despised the promise, you have despised who we are. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America hates Jesus Christ with a passion. They wish he was gone. They wish he was not here. They don't want him in your school. They don't want, my God, somebody say amen. In God we trust. The oath has been despised and the covenant has been. A tale of three sisters. Muslim countries of the world, third world countries, and countries that have no restrictions, no morals, no nothing. And then the United States of America that wished to God that Congress had never decreed that our motto would be "In God we trust." They wish they could take it off of your money. They want to take it off of the courthouse. They want to take it off. My God, come on, somebody. The Supreme Court building. They despise the oath, and they have broken the covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, the third sister identified here as Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem now, that has despised the oath and broken the covenant is the United States of America. She is sick. We are making great headways in getting rid of God and everything that's godly. Can I get an amen right there? We are making great strides in removing God and Christ and everything that's godly and everything that's Christ-like, Brother Pitts, from our culture. I wrote an article for a magazine a couple of weeks ago. I asked my little article. I don't know why they do me like that. But I wrote an article on the world's desire for a Christless culture. The world has a desire for a Christless culture. They want your babies to go to school where there is no Christ. They want your sons and daughters to play sports, but they don't want Jesus Christ around the field at all. They want him gone. They're making great strides. Now then, in our world today, the big thing is today you're neither man nor woman. You're whatever you want to be. I can almost agree with half of that. We got a bunch of males that are not men. But not on their line of bed. I preached that men's meeting here. Brother James, Brother Larry was with me and preached on the lion killer. And I said, fellas, in that Bible, you never read of a woman killing a lion. I can tell you, that's always man's job. But you're neither male nor female. It's whatever you're warped mind tells you that you are. God is so dumb till he made you wrong. God's not dumb. He made you a man or he made you a woman. But the big thing, America despises the oath and have broken the covenant. And now they want us to be whatever we've. I'm going to preach to you for just a few minutes. We're not going to get out at 12. I can tell you that. You just hang in here with me because God's dealt with me and I'm going to preach to you. Target. The last few days, they've opened up their restrooms that now you can go to anyone that you feel comfortable in. I told my wife, we're never going back in that store. I said, I told my wife, we are never going back in that store. And if for some reason we get stuck and have to, I will go to the restroom with her. And I will have something in my pocket to take care of her and to guard her while she's in there. And if you go to Target and your little girl goes in that restroom and you don't go in there with her, sir, then there's something wrong. My God, can somebody say amen? You know, in February, I was in California, and the pastor, they've got that, you know, they've got that law, California, in the schools. And you know what he said? This is the biggest mess that we've ever seen in our lives. They want the little homosexual boys to be able to go to the bathroom with the girls, but he said, that's not what's happening. The normal boys are the ones that are going to the bathrooms with the girls. Stupid. But listen to me. Man, I wish I had another hour. This is not where it stops. Okay? You're going to take your babies to the beach. There's a woman down there that identifies herself as a man. She's going to come out there with her swimming trunks. Shout with me, somebody. And what you going to do about it? Because Barack Obama this past week said that it is wrong for us to believe that a person cannot express themselves as they feel like they should express themselves. So, she's good. I identify as a man. Got on. Somebody. What about your girl's softball coach? He's 6'5", weighs 290 pounds, but he's a woman. He identifies as a female. You know where he's going to dress? In the clubhouse with your babies. Amen. And what you going to do about it? Because he identifies as a female. Man, you're shouting. We have just begun this downward path. We are now experiencing the judgment and the wrath of God upon this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I've preached it, I've said it, I'm going to preach it, I'm going to say it again. God's judgment is most severe when he gives a people what they want and he gives it to them in excess. Israel worried him to death saying, we want quail. He said, you got quail, buddy. But then when they started puking it and it started running out their noses and gushing out of their mouths because they were overcome with quail, they begged God. Come on, say amen. Rachel, listen to me, Rachel was barren. And Rachel was not satisfied to be barren. And she looked at Jacob and said, give me children, plural, or let me die. She had a baby. The baby's name was Joseph. But she did not say, give me children, or give me a child. She said, give me children, else I die. She said, if I don't have children, it's going to kill me. And so she had a child, Joseph, and lived through it. Then she had another child by the name of Benjamin. And the thing that she thought she would die if she didn't have it killed her. Killed her. Died by the side of the road when her child, her second child, America, you wanted it. We've been on this downward path for a long, long time. Cross-dressing didn't start in 2016. It started in the 1960s. When our ladies put their skirts down and picked up their jeans. I'm preaching right? Man, we cross-dressing didn't just start, ladies and gentlemen. It started a long, long time ago that we wanted a unisex society. We had unisex barbershops. You got it. You want it? You got it. Now you got the target. It'll be Walmart. Amen. Tell me, it'll be in your school before. Somebody ask God to bless our governor. Lift your hand and ask God to bless our governor. Brother and sister, this drug culture didn't just start. This drug promiscuous culture started with the advent of rock and roll in the 1950s. We wanted that. The words rock and roll means a car shaking back and forth, because of what's going on in the back seat of that car. And that's where the term rock and roll came from. You got it now. You wanted it. We wanted it. America wanted it. America got it. America wanted a culture that was not male, not female. We wanted it. We've got it. Now, dear God, we're sick of it. We're puking quail out our nose. We don't know what to do. We wanted it. We asked for it. Brother Jason, we got it. Now, dear God, what are we going to do? Very, very ill. Because now God has allowed us to have what we've been wanted for the last 60 years. We wanted pornography. When we had to go buy a little box and set up on the top of the TV to get it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What do you call that? Home box office, HBO. Nobody remembers that. People said, you got the box. We wanted pornography. Now you got it on your phone. I was preaching in Tennessee or somewhere the other day. I said, dear God, what bothers me is not the smartphones. It's the dumb things people are doing on smartphones. How about that? So here we've got a choice. We can sink with the ship, or we can get in the lifeboat. Said we can sink with the ship, or we can get in the life. I could go further. I could go further. I could tell you we want it. Oh, you say, preacher, I didn't know it was coming to this. I didn't know it was coming to this. Dear God, you thought you'd plant rutabagas and get apples, dear God. You thought it was cool when Junior said, I need me an earring, Papa. Wanting to go to the girls' restroom. Shout with me, somebody. Dear God, you better be here tonight. I think you went on mad. I said, now look at us. Now look at us. Now look at us. But what are we going to do? We're going to say, no, sir, I'm telling you what you better do. You better get your little flock, mama hen, you better get your little flock, and you better put them under your wing. And Papa guard dog, you better corral your little herd of sheep, them three or four you got, and you better put them in that fence, and you better stand guard over that gate and say you better not come. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to upset some folks right here. I'm going to make some folks mad. It doesn't matter. I'm wearing the shoes of the prophet this morning. I'm telling you what's coming. You better keep them boys and girls off of those sports teams. You better get them out of there. Daddy, build him a woodworking shop. Get him an old tractor to rebuild. Get him a pickup truck. Get him something. Do something or other, because this transgender mess is going to destroy sports from the lowest level even to the height. It will not be long, ladies and gentlemen, from the very smallest to the pro. You're going to find transgenders are already there that are playing sports. They're going to be a coach that applies for a job to coach your baby that's a transvestite, and you're going to say my school won't let him. Let me tell you something. If that principal and that school board is not chock full of the Holy Ghost, they're not going to prison to keep that devil off of that ball team. You better keep them away from that beach. You better keep, my God, come on, somebody say amen. You better shelter them. You better start, and you better start now, because the curtain has dropped. We asked for it. We've got it. And in the next 6 months to a year, if church doesn't pray through, this country will be forever changed, never to return. Say, preacher, you all slept with this last night. You all woke up. I have sent my word. Sodom and Samaria, the Muslim world, the world without restraint, and the world that has despised the oath and broken the covenant. But you are my child. If you will draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. I will overshadow you. I will keep you in my love. I will protect you. Is there anything more important to you than your family and your home and your children? Saith the Holy Ghost of God. Preacher, I know, I understand. You've had it for 40 minutes. I had it yesterday. I had it last night. I went to bed with it. I woke up with it at 4:45 this morning. You can do whatever you want to with it. You can walk out that door and throw it in the road ditch if you want to. It's over for you. But you better not, I can tell you that. But I can't do that. I'll take it home with me. I'll get me a cup of coffee and I'll kick back in that chair. And I'll wrestle it all evening. Won't I, Brother Rhodes? But I'll tell you as honest as I can be before Almighty God. I've told you exactly what God sent me to tell you. Because I love you, and I love your children, and I love your home, and this is it. This is what God showed me last night and this morning. This is the way it's got to be. We have got to put this church, and as a church, we've got to come back to God, to righteousness and holiness. Listen to me, number one. And we've got to put this church right in the middle. And then we've got to put our families and our homes around this church, just like it was in the camp of Israel, when the tabernacle was in the center of the camp and all the tribes camped around that tabernacle because they wanted to be close to the glory of God. I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for what I preached. I'm sorry that we were so deceived. And we did not understand what was happening. Brother Rhodes, come play something for me. I started preaching in 1968. The last great revival we had started in the 40s. It went through the 50s and the 60s. And I didn't know it. I thought that's just the way it was. I'm guilty. I started preaching in 68. We would see cripples healed. We would see miracles take place. I didn't realize you could lose that, Brother Andy. I grew up in it. I just thought that's the way it was. Brother Leon, I didn't realize it could be lost. I look back now and realize that men like me and preachers of my generation, we were careless, and we allowed that fire to to go out. Ladies and gentlemen, God spoke to a remnant of this third lady's people, and this is what he said. He said, I'm going to reestablish my covenant with you, and it's going to be again like it was when you were young and in your youth. Not America. Not America, but the church in America. And the remnant church in America, God is wanting to reestablish his covenant with us. Back to the altar. Back to the place of commitment. Back to the place of saying, I will not despise the oath. I will not break the covenant. If you want to go down with the ship, go down with the ship. I'm sorry for you, because hell's going to be hot. I want you to stand. But if you say, preacher, somehow by the help of God, I'm going to get me and mine through the storm. We may have to stay home and eat rutabagas and potatoes, but we're not going to use, come on, say amen. Now do whatever you want to do with us. I hope you'll come and pray. I hope you'll come talk to God. Would you come? Do you want to talk to God? The United States of America, the Muslim world has a distorted religion. An ungodly world has no religion at all. America had a religion. America was a Christian nation, but our current president, Brother Jimmy, has publicly proclaimed that we are not a Christian nation. We have despised the vow and we have broken the covenant. And our motto passed by Congress is "In God We Trust." And we despise that. We despise it. We made a covenant to be one nation under God. But we have broken that covenant. We have sown the wind. We are reaping the whirlwind. My children and grandchildren are too precious to lose. They're too precious to lose. It's just a matter of time now. This transgender mess, you can be whatever you identify, it's just a matter of time. Somebody's going to see their neighbor lady out in the yard. She identifies as a man. She's going to be on a tractor dressed like a man without his shirt. What are you going to do about it? I said, what?